Well, good morning, and as my wife said, welcome. Those of you that are here from VBS, we are going to be wrapping up our series on Timeless, the subject of our VBS this year, and we get to kind of take a look back over many of those things. I do want to point out our theme for VBS this past week, was discovering Jesus from eternity past to eternity future. We were looking at Jesus that pre-existed history all the way to the Jesus that is going to be going on into eternity and where we fit in that giant story of what God has been doing in Christ by His Spirit throughout all of history. It was a great week of VBS. We had 241 kids, 87 volunteers. It was a spectacular week. Yep. Wow, that was rousing. That was the VBS leaders like, try to help them with their drooling issues today, that kind of thing. But it was a great week. Just had a great time with our kids. I got to meet many, many parents, and I hope that some of you that are here are families that don't have a home church, and welcome to this place, welcome to this family. But some of you might be asking, I get it, you put on a great show for the kids, but so what? Who are you? Who is this church? What is this place really about? And so I would like to talk a little bit about that. So if you take your outlines out, have them in your lap, I want to talk a little bit about this church and who we are. We are part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Now, that may sound like a cult group when you first hear about it, but it is not. It is a wonderful, Christ-centered, global movement of more than 6 million people. We are an Acts 1:8 family. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Inspired by Jesus' love and empowered by His Spirit. Passionate to bring the good news about Jesus to our neighborhoods and our world. Take a look at the Christian and Missionary Alliance. This will let you know who we are.
The Alliance was born out of a passion for Jesus and a heart for lost people. We are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family
that believes that all people should have the opportunity to hear the good news of salvation.
Christ is our foundation and the local church our home. From the local church, we make disciples who understand God's calling
to become more like Jesus and to share the hope we have in Him.
God's Word is alive and at work in us. His Holy Spirit transforms us, spurring us on to love and good deeds.
Over 130 years ago, this same reality was stirring in the heart of Pastor Albert Benjamin Simpson. As he reached out to immigrant dock workers in New York City, his burden for lost people grew.
Simpson rallied a small group of believers around a common vision to reach the unreached, unaware that they were paving the way for future generations of Alliance work.
Pioneer missionaries to Africa made significant sacrifices.
Some gave their lives, planting seeds that would one day blossom into a vibrant church movement.
Supporters back home sold their most precious belongings in order to fund the work, and an alliance was born.
Today, there are more than 2.3 million Alliance believers in Africa.
Throughout the world, 6.3 million Christ followers worship in more than 22,000 Alliance fellowships.
Our heart for the nations has resulted in the U.S. Alliance becoming one of the most diverse evangelical churches in America.
More than 2,000 congregations worship in 37 languages. Many immigrants to the U.S. who were embraced, discipled, and equipped for ministry by Alliance churches have since returned to their home cultures with a burden for the lost. Local Alliance churches provide the foundation for our worldwide mission through prayer and sacrificial giving to the Great Commission Fund.
Since its founding, our North American family of churches has launched over 8,000 missionaries into more than 80 nations.
Worldwide, Alliance hospitals and clinics, radio stations, and schools proclaim the good news. In the United States, institutes of higher education prepare believers for kingdom service.
Alliance camps and retirement communities make disciples across generations.
With a passion for lost people, the Alliance family continues to expand its reach into areas of our world where there is little or no access to the gospel. This can often mean results come slowly, but we trust that God will bring in the harvest as He has in generations before.
Our commitment to reaching the world for Christ remains strong. Our global team of more than 700 workers is trained in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. Long-term Alliance workers labor to see healthy, self-replicating churches established. Short to mid-term workers come alongside U.S. and international Alliance ministries,
bringing needed skills while shaping a new generation of kingdom-minded believers.
We are creative and nimble, using our resources wisely in order to have the greatest impact.
Because of their professional expertise, Alliance business people have gained access to many countries that are closed to the gospel.
In cultures where written communication is not readily embraced, we use oral storytelling as a means to share the good news in ways that rapidly spread from village to village.
Compassion and Mercy Associates, or CAMA, is the Alliance's relief and development arm.
CAMA workers focus on holistic ministry, partnering with churches and communities to meet the physical and spiritual needs of people ravaged by poverty, disease, war, and natural disaster.
As we find new ways to bring Jesus to our neighborhoods and the nations, our message remains unchanged. We come from diverse backgrounds, but are drawn together by our desire to see all people find new life in Jesus.
Each of us plays a unique role in seeing Christ's love transform our world. United in His love
and empowered by His Spirit,
we pray.
We give.
We love.
We proclaim Jesus.
We are family.
We are the Alliance.
Well, that gives you a pretty good idea of who the Alliance are and who we are as a part of that. And let me emphasize, we are an Acts 1:8 family. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were when this was being spoken to the disciples. In all Judea, that's the larger region around them, to Samaria, that was moving further to the outskirts, and to the uttermost parts of the earth beyond the country that they were in. That same call is present for us even today. Let me break down why that matters. Like, it's great to have these statements. It's even good to see that video, to see the diversity and the complexity and all the nuances of our denomination. Many of you just gave money. You give money to the Great Commission. You give money to CAMA Services. You give money to missionaries. You give money to their special projects. You give money to our church. Where does all of that go? It goes to fund the gigantic number of ministries that go on and through a diverse number of routes in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. That is who we are, and that is what we are about. And we are very, very connected worldwide for the mission of Jesus Christ. And that mission was to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. This church was planted as an outcropping, as an outpouring of that original call to the disciples to not just sit, but to go. And we also carry that message. So why does it matter? Why is it important to us? Let me talk about some of the things that it spoke to, and these are fill-ins just for those of you that are a little bit more like, I missed a fill-in. Okay, get your pens ready right now. Get your pencils ready right now. You can do a little filling in this morning. We are a Christ-centered church. What does that mean? What does it mean to be Christ-centered? It is captured in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with Him and He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that nobody may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What do I mean when I say that we are Christ-centered? What I mean is our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity is Christ-centered. When I say that we are a Christ-centered church, I mean to say that our identity, all of who we are, is centered up in who Jesus Christ is. look at those verses. This would be very easy, and I think we do this a lot when we read the Bible. It's very easy just to glaze through these verses because some of them are familiar and you know them and you kind of just fall into, you know, auto mode. And it's a little bit like brushing your teeth in the morning. You just kind of do it and you don't really pay attention to it because you have a pattern for it. But look at what it says here. God was rich in mercy, and he loves us, humankind, so much that even when we were in rebellion against him, he made us alive. Who? He made us alive with what? Together with Christ. Look at the next section. He raised us up with him and seated us with him. That is, those are both. He raised us up with Jesus Christ. He seated us with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. In what? In Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, it would show how gracious he really is. In his graciousness, his kindness toward us in what? Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that nobody can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in what? Christ Jesus. Did you see how many times it is mentioned that we are together with Christ, that we are in Christ, that we are seated with Christ, that our identity is in Christ, that we are created in Christ Jesus for all that we experience? Make no mistake. Scripture speaks it out as clearly as possible. Jesus Christ, who preceded the beginning, who will extend throughout all of eternity, it is in Jesus Christ that we exist. That's who we find our identity in. You must do business with Jesus Christ in order to have a relationship with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ said. Nobody comes into relationship with God the Father except through me. Because Jesus Christ is the very image, he is the very picture, he is our understanding of who God is. And we must be in relationship with him. We are a Christ-centered movement. Further, we are an Acts 1:8 family. That's your second fill-in. We are an Acts 1:8 family. I already mentioned to you Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Here's the impact of that calling. Here's the impact of that going. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, not by your own flesh, not by your own will, not by your own doing, but by the Spirit of God, by his doing, by his will, by his intention in our lives. That's the contrast there. For you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear of sin and what God, that God might squish you because, you know, you're a bad person and God's going to squish you because you weren't good today. You're no longer under that fear. It's not a fear of slavery to death that sin has dominion over your life and that it's going to someday lead to your death, which is true of all people. But in that day, are you going to be resurrected as Jesus was because that's your identity? Or do you stand before God stripped of everything just based on your own works, based on your own goodness or badness compared to a holy God? See, it doesn't return you to some sort of wickedness and slavery that leaves you unsure of your future. No, the Spirit of God, once received, is a spirit of adoption. Adoption is sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, which in the language that this was written in the Aramaic, this is written in, that's Abba, Father, is an affectionate, kind of like a child calling out to daddy. Just crying out, daddy, running and jumping in the lap of a father, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When I call this place, when I call Long Beach Alliance a family, when we call our denomination an Acts 1:8 family, that we're surrounded around the identity of Jesus Christ and that this is who we are, that we are a family, I'm not using those words flippantly to just kind of go, oh, I'm going to piggyback the fact that a lot of you are in families and you'll relate to this and this will be a marketing scheme. That's not it at all. I genuinely believe that you and I are called into a family together. And that when we call each other brothers and sisters, that's not some sort of creepy religious thing. You know, that sounds weird if you heard that on television and someone said, ooh, these are my brothers and sisters. It's like, yeah, you're creeping me out. And I'm going to keep my distance from you. That's not what it's meant. It's meant to be an authentic family that lives and loves and fights and argues and has food fights and all of it together. I guess that's more VBS. But our identity is being a Spirit-centered, authentic family. We're not led by our own will. We're led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is given voice by the Word of God. That's why we study the Word of God diligently. That's why we want to hear what God has to say to us. And we authentically live that out in our midst. And some of us are at different places along that maturity path, and so we listen to those that have been at it longer, and we bring along those that have been at it for a shorter amount of time, but at no place along that continuum do we ever say that you're not allowed to be a sinner. We want you to bring who you really are right here, right into this family, and allow Jesus to change you. I don't change you. Someone else here is not going to change you. You don't need to be at a certain level in order to be a part of this family. We all come together, me, you, and everyone, and we allow Jesus to do the changing. We allow the Spirit to be the one that gives us the guidance. We think that God has got his job in hand. None of us need to do that for you. No messianic complexes allowed. We are all here, accepting everyone, but affirming no one, all for the sake of the gospel. We are an authentic, Spirit-centered family. Further, the third fill-in, we are gospel-centered. Now, how do we get two centers? How does that happen? What does that mean? What does it mean that we're gospel-centered? This is central to who we are, and so I'm going to explain it just a little bit. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel means Awana people. Okay, Awana, you just let me down. What's the deal? Where are my Awana leaders? What's the problem here? What does gospel mean? Good news. Yeah, it means good news. It means there's some good news. The bad news is we're born into slavery. We're born into a fear of sin. We're born into a fear of judgment. We're born into a fear of death. The gospel releases us from all of that because Jesus conquered it. Through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, we can clearly see, and it is clearly revealed, that he has conquered these things. And through faith in him, we get to identify with this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We live according to this gospel mission. That it is good news. And that good news is so great in our lives that we want to share it with other people. We don't want to just keep it to ourselves. We're not just here to gorge on the gospel and become fat Christians. We are here to not only eat of the gospel and to be nourished by the gospel, but we take that gospel and we go out and we share it with everybody that's around us. We do so in natural relationships. We do so in friendships, friendships that exist at work, friendships that exist at coffee shops, friendships that exist in our families. But we are on a mission. We are on a mission to represent and share the life of the gospel that flows in us, through us, and out of us to a world that desperately needs some good news. That's who we are. Why? Because it's who Jesus was. In being Christ-centered, we adopt the same character and we adopt the same mission of life that Jesus had. A character that was devoted to God. A character that expressed the gospel to the people that were around him. He expressed it in harsh terms to those that were stubbornly religious and would not listen. And he expressed it in the most sensitive and gentle terms to those that were steeped and stuck in their sin and did not know it. Jesus had the right touch in the right moment, the very grace that knew how to handle the gospel and distribute it well. And we are called to that same mission of life. The next fill-in for you fill-in people. We want to make disciples of Jesus in our neighborhoods. I can't emphasize this enough. We are a disciple-making movement. We are not a convert-making movement. We don't just share the gospel, get someone to raise their hand, come forward at a rally, do some sort of prayer. Here, I'll pray it for you, and you just follow my words. We don't practice that kind of thing. Why? Because we're not trying to just make converts. We're making disciples. Sometimes that happens in a moment when someone comes to the Lord. Sometimes that happens over a period of time because it's a process for some people to really understand the gospel, to embrace it, and to become disciples. Look what it says in Colossians. Him, Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature or complete in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy. I love that. Struggling with his energy that he powerfully works within me. What are we doing? We are about the business of making disciples. Warning, teaching, guiding, admonishing, however you want to say it. We are disciples who make disciples who also make disciples who make disciples on and on and on. We'd make a t-shirt, but it would just cover the whole thing again and again and again and again. Are you being discipled by someone? Are you discipling someone else? That's what it means to be a disciple maker. Jesus, the Son of God, was discipled by his mom and dad. He was shown life. It says that he grew in maturity and he grew in understanding. He sat under the teaching of God's word. He was able to speak it to people. He understood it. He was tutored in it. And then he became a disciple maker, choosing for himself 12 disciples that he walked and talked and lived life with and shared his life with, who went on to change the world. Don't mistake that as being like, oh, that's just some weird cultural thing that happened a couple thousand years ago. We are called to be disciples, and we are also called to make disciples of others. We don't want that just to be in our neighborhoods. We don't just want that to be at Starbucks or over at Grounds or wherever it is that you find yourself meeting with people, making disciples, you know, your own home. We also want to make disciples in the whole world. Why? Because whenever Jesus talked about making disciples, that's what he spoke of. Look at what it says in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of what? All nations. Don't just make disciples of your own people. Why? Because God has created all of it, and God is most glorified when that diversity worships him. There are people out there that God has designed, he has created them, that they could be in a relationship with him, but they don't have a relationship with him. And because of that, God is missing out on the diversity. We are missing out on the diversity of what it means for God to be worshiped by every tribe, by every tongue, by every nation in the world. That's why in the Christian Missionary Alliance, at least, we have more people that go to CMA churches. And by the way, that's a good way. You know, Christian Missionary Alliance, that's really long. So you could just say CMA, okay? That's okay to do that. Or if you're old school, you could say CNMA. You throw that and in there. It shows that you've been around for a while, though, just so you know. So those of you that are younger, you just want to go with the more hipster CMA, okay? That's great. CMA, in the CMA, hipster, right there. Now I've lost track, completely lost track. There are more people in the CMA outside of the United States than in the United States. That is a testimony to a group of people that said, we want to reach the world because God said to reach the nations. That's why it emphasizes what has happened in Africa. That's why it emphasizes what has happened down in the Philippines, what has happened in the Pacific Rim. Because missionaries went and sacrificed, and home churches sacrificed for those missionaries so the world might be reached. The beauty of the modern day that we live in is that immigration is such, even with the hot topic that it is in this country right now, immigration is such that the nations now pour in to the place that we live, don't they? We actually live in one of the most diverse places in the entire United States of America. Every tribe, tongue, and nation lives right here in Long Beach. In fact, they might be your neighbors. They might be the people that you see at Starbucks or at the donut shop or wherever it is that you go during the week. You might work with them being us being them. and us together being about the gospel. It used to be that delivering the gospel to the nations meant that you had to go away to a place. Nowadays, every single one of us are called to be deliverers of the gospel to the nations, because it's right here in Long Beach, right here in East Long Beach. The nations have come. God has been good enough to allow such turmoil in the world that the nations have fled their homelands and they have come to the United States. Even if we would not go, God brought them here and now brings them to your doorstep. Will you be a man or a woman that goes outside the front door of your home to make disciples of all nations? This is what Jesus Christ has called us to. You know, it says in here, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always. That encouragement that Jesus is with us by his Spirit, even to the end of the age. Do you know there's only one action in here? Even though there's a whole bunch of things that you do along the way, there's only one verb in this entire statement, and it is to make disciples. That's who we are. We make disciples. And as we make disciples, we go, we baptize, we teach. We observe it in front of people and we show it to everyone that is around us. We are all about making disciples. We are a family of disciple-making people. We want to make disciples of Jesus. We want to make disciples of Jesus in our world. Don't miss the motivation. This is not just a some sort of organized army that's meant to go out and just start yelling a message. I think we've all seen that on television or maybe on a street corner somewhere. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. God loved people, and so he sent people. At the end of the day, do we have the same heart that God has? A heart that loves people. Because God loved you and sent his Son after you, because he loved you and had such rich mercy that he sent his Son even when you were still a sinner. God loved you and chose you as his own child. He sent his Son that whoever believes would not perish but would have life with him eternally. For God has not sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You that belong to Jesus, carry this message to every person who can or will listen to the message of salvation. The Christian Missionary Alliance has been motivated from its beginning that this gospel of the kingdom was to be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. We know that at the end of that proclamation, when all things have been fulfilled by God, when he has completed everything, that he will sew it all up, that then the end will come. And we work until that end comes with the passion of the gospel. Has the end come? Nope. You're breathing. You're sitting here. End has not come. So we are on mission. We are on mission to make disciples of Jesus, who love the world, the whole world, not just the part that seems like it likes us, but the whole world, in Jesus' name. I wish I could slow down that video that I showed you earlier to tell you where some of those churches and fellowships are, in some of the most dangerous, wicked places in the world. That's where our missionaries are right this very moment. We celebrate Christ in all kinds of languages within the United States, and what it represents is that we are celebrating Christ in even more languages outside of the United States. This is who we are. And if your kids came to VBS this last week and you saw the show that we put on for kids and you're like, yeah, that's great, but what about for me? Then I want you to know that this place has got teeth. It's got meat. It's got depth. It's got mission. It's got purpose. It's got family. And we are here to change the world in Jesus Christ's name. Let's pray. God, thank you for putting these things in our hearts, for filling us with purpose and mission, for drawing us into what you have for us, God. I pray that every person here, God, would be wholly and completely committed to finding their identity in you. That, God, we would be Christ-centered, gospel-centered. We would be a family together, that we would be on the mission of Acts 1:8, taking everything from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth. That, God, we would be those kinds of disciple makers in our neighborhoods and in the world. And, God, we pray that in the proclamation of this gospel, that it would come to its full sufficiency and its full completeness, and that, God, you would bring all things under Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that in the end, God, all glory would go to you, and that we would be amongst those nations of every tribe and tongue that give you worship, that celebrate your name, that celebrate the greatness and goodness of God. God, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the one that you sent even while we were still sinners. God, it's in his name that we come to you, and it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship him together right now.